It's Hour of the Jason Rancho, brought to you by Robbins & Company Structural Moving and Foundation Repair. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. It's time to find out what's trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
So there was a moment when Hannibal Lecter got his first taste of human flesh. Or when Edward Cullen tasted human blood for the very first time, and each of them had to essentially pick a lane. Are you going to give in to that temptation and go down this path of eating people, of killing people and drinking their blood? Or will you do the right thing? Will you fight the urge and not take any victims to satisfy this inner quench? Do you give in to temptation or do you fight the urge? Edward, which is why I was never Team Jacob. I was always Team Edward, because Edward's a good dude. In Twilight, he decided, you know what? I'm going to fight the temptation. I'm not going to give in and drink people's blood. I'm going to fall in love with a 17-year-old girl, even though I'm like 500 years old, and we don't really talk about that in the movie Twilight. And Hannibal Lecter, obviously, what did he decide to do? He decided to continue down that path and eat a whole bunch of people. And that's kind of what we have in the Seattle City Council, where they've decided, hey, I'm going to go down that path with Hannibal Lecter. The council has tasted human flesh for the first time, and they couldn't stop but give in. Except they're doing it with tax dollars. They're not eating people. They're just taking all of their money in the form of taxes. Rather than resist the urge to tax, they decide, we'll just lean in. We're going to keep eating people. And they're out of control at this point. I don't know anyone who can look at the move that happened over the last day with the council and say, yeah, they're thinking logically. Because now they're pushing for another tax. They're still not over all of the press, nationally and internationally, criticizing them over the head tax against Amazon and other big businesses. They're now pushing something called a LID tax, Local Improvement District, LID. It taxes 2% of property owners who live on the waterfront in Seattle, and they use that money to pay for area improvements. They're using it for parks and green spaces, because apparently the council sees wealthy people and they say, we have to tax you. There's nothing we can do. Steve Daniszek is a property owner there. He's going to be subject to the LID if it actually gets passed. He told King 5, yeah, no, I'm not happy with that.
The LID is not a tax. It's not something we get to vote for. It's an assessment. I can think of better things to do with my $10,000 than to give it to a city council that I have no trust in at this point.
Few people have trust in this council. Few people do. Because they see what they're doing to the city of Seattle, and they see that it's going to spread outside of Seattle to folks listening to us right now in Bellevue or Tacoma and Olympia and Kent and Everett. And Shoreline, this stuff spreads. The sickness spreads. And so he showed up at the public hearing that was yesterday.
We've had it. I'm asking for the entire Seattle City Council to resign. Resign because you think you get away with picking our pockets. You don't represent us. And you can no longer be trusted with Seattle's future.
All but one person who spoke at this hearing yesterday spoke out against this tax.
You do not have our consent for this LID. And if you pass this LID, this illegal and unconstitutional LID, you leave us no choice but not to pay the bill.
And it does seem illegal. How could you just say we're going to tax people who live on this one particular block or in this one small area, different from everybody else? They're Seattle residents, and yet you're hitting them with extra taxes. For what? For parks that aren't even going to be enjoyed solely by the people who live there, but it's open for the public. This makes no sense. It makes legitimately no sense, which is why he says he's not going to pay it, which is why this man spoke out and said, what are you doing to us? You're not even benefiting us with some improvements to our property values because of what you're doing to our city.
How does thousands of people in my neighborhood, along with all the associated congestion, noise, garbage, crime, and homelessness, increase my property value? When I bring you facts and data that show my property value has decreased, are you going to write me a check?
Of course not. They're not going to write you a check. They're in the business of cashing checks. They're in the business of wasting dollars. They're not in the business of making sure that there's a return on their investments. That's never what they've been about. These are not successful business people. They don't know how to run anything. There was one person who showed up there to support the lid tax. Well, listen to the way she does it. She's the director of the Seattle Art Museum.
I'm Kim Rorschach, director and CEO of the Seattle Art Museum.
Hi, Kim.
We would pay under the lid on certain revenues that we have. Our budget is significant. Every year is challenging to raise the resources to meet it. Nonetheless, I would be honored to do that to support the lid. Because
just real quick, did you hear that? Here's how she started.
Seattle Art Museum. Yeah. We would pay,
meaning the Seattle Art Museum.
Nonetheless, I would be honored to do that to support the lid. Because
see, lady, Kim, with all due respect, I saw what you did there. We would and then I would. You're not paying anything. Kim isn't paying anything. She doesn't own property on the waterfront. Kim doesn't get hit by this tax. The Seattle Art Museum gets hit. And it's a lot easier when you're a business charging people to enter your property to then take those dollars and reinvest them into a tax. It makes it a lot easier to increase the amount of dollars you're charging people to attend your museum, which then allows you to pay off this extra tax. That's not something someone who simply has a condo near the waterfront can do. And so stop with the sanctimony. Oh, I would be honored to pay. Okay, how about this? You should pay them because you're not paying. Give the money to the... Just give it right now. Just say, you know what? Please put this into parks. You can donate directly to the Department of Parks. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Big picture.
That coward Parkland cop, Scott Peterson, who hid outside Stoneman Douglas's Nicholas Cruz murdered classmates and administrators. That cop's getting an insane amount of tax dollars every single month for his pension, and people are justifiably upset. Joining me on the line is Tanya J. Powers from Fox News Radio. Tanya, how much is he getting and why is he getting it?
$8,700, just a little bit over that, a month. That's his monthly pension that he's going to draw, and he does that until for the rest of his life. They got that number because of the number of years he was serving as a deputy in the Broward County Sheriff's Office. They also took the five highest paid years of his salary and averaged those. So that's how that number was arrived at.
Now, he's also getting medical insurance, although that's happening through the sheriff's office. He was allowed to retire rather than be fired. Had he been fired, would he be getting this pension?
You know, that's a good question. I'm not sure if he would still be getting it under those circumstances. But I do know that unless he is, I think it's convicted of a felony, like embezzlement or bribery or something like that, that's the way they would keep from paying that. But, you know, short of that, there's not really a whole lot they can do.
Yeah, and there's no expectation that he's going to be charged with anything under Florida state law. So it seems like he's going to be guaranteed this pension.
Right.
Obviously, people are upset. What are they saying?
Oh, yeah. A lot, actually. The fathers, two of the fathers of Parkland victims have spoken, and one of them, who is also suing Peterson, Andrew Pollock, his daughter Meadow died in the shooting, and he calls Peterson a disgrace. He calls him a coward. He says, he shouldn't be getting this money. He said it should instead be going towards school safety or scholarships for the students, some of the ones who were hurt in the shooting. He says there's nothing they can do about it. One of the other fathers also agreed with this. I think he tweeted about that as well. Obviously family members are upset about this.
Have we heard from Scott Peterson?
There was a statement through his attorney, basically, that said that the reason that he didn't go inside the school was because he said he thought the shots were being fired outside the school. They were coming from there, and that's the reason he didn't go inside.
And the investigation seems to indicate early on that that's not true, that there was clearly an indication that the gunfire was, in fact, inside the school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, whatever happens of that investigation specific to Scott Peterson, undoubtedly more and more people are going to get more and more angry as they learn again the news that he is receiving a little over $8,700 a month in pension, despite the fact that he was part of the reason why this shooting went on as long as it did. I've been talking with Tanya J. Powers, Fox News Radio. If you want to learn more about this particular story, check out foxnews.com. Tanya, thanks for stopping by. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM in the Greater East Side. It is Friday. You know what that means? I get to talk movies. The big weekend release, which should knock down Avengers, is another superhero movie, Deadpool 2. It stars Ryan Reynolds as the foul-mouthed superhero who this time aims to protect a teenage superhero from a man traveling from the future trying to kill him.
I'm here for the kid.
What? The kid?
I ain't letting Cable kill this kid. We're gonna form a super duper group. We need them tough, morally flexible, and young enough to carry their own franchise for 10 to 12 years.
We will be known as X-Force.
Isn't that a little derivative?
Don't call it a comeback!
So, I wasn't necessarily sure if we needed a sequel to Deadpool. I liked the first one, and I thought it was fresh, mostly because you don't normally have a character who's a superhero who's R-rated. We generally don't get those types of movies, and so I thought at the time was, this is good. It's not great. It was good, and I liked it because it was just a little bit different. So I thought to myself, okay, do we need another Deadpool? Is the world pining for another one? And frankly, do we need another superhero movie so close to the Avengers? Because that was earth-shattering for the Marvel Universe where Deadpool lives. But I'll say this, after seeing the movie, I'm 100% glad they made it. Deadpool 2 is really, really good. It still feels as fresh as the first one did. And the jokes don't get all that tiring. Ryan Reynolds, I think, plays the role perfectly. He's vulgar, he's violent, he's a smartass. It's the perfect personality to fit the character, the actor of Ryan Reynolds. It just seems like a really good match. And for those of us familiar with the Marvel Universe, particularly X-Men, there are not just a ton of cameos, but a lot of callbacks and references to some of the Marvel movies. At one point, he ends up turning to Josh Brolin, who in this plays Cable, the guy who was coming to us from the future, and he jokingly refers to him as Thanos, since that's the character Brolin plays in the Avengers. I think the two of them play off each other really, really well.
My name's Cable. I'm from the future. Just walk away.
Oh, so you're from the future. I have three questions then. One, is dubstep still a thing? Two, which Sharknado are we on? And three, at what point do audiences say, enough with the robotic arms?
Dubstep.
So dark!
Are you sure you're not from the DC Universe?
So the movie is really, really fun. It's very subversive. It is a hard R, so this is not necessarily appropriate for kids under the age of 13, I would say. But I do think it's a nice change of pace, again, from some of the more family-friendly superhero films that we end up getting, or some of the superhero films that, yeah, they're a little bit dark, but it does seem a little weird that no one seems to cuss and you never see any blood or death. That's not a problem with this movie. They have a lot of that. Lots of the characters from the first film make appearances in this one, but for the most part, it's a separate movie. They don't pick up too much from where they left off at the end of Deadpool. Deadpool 2 earns that R rating. It's out now, and I do recommend it. I really, really enjoyed it. Another film that's out is actually the polar opposite of Deadpool. It's released this weekend. It's a documentary, and it's called Pope Francis, A Man of His Word. It's an up-close and very intimate look at the Pope's ideological beliefs and basically how he manages the politics behind some of the subjects that he cares about, like global warming, like poverty, to push the gospel and enact some meaningful change in the world. The film feels political. They highlight the Pope's social justice causes. They highlight the Pope's environmentalist beliefs. And it does so without questioning any of it. They just sort of present what he believes, and they do so via a series of interviews that they were able to do with the Pope, interactions that they were able to film with the people he meets all over the globe, and they explain why he believes what it is he believes and why it's so important. But it does at times feel like a propaganda film, because they don't really question any of the positions that the Pope takes. They certainly don't talk to anyone who is taking issue with any of the policy prescriptions he ends up implying support for. And I do think that that's what was missing in this movie. And I do think that it was necessary. Ultimately, though, I do recommend Pope Francis, a man of his word, because it is an intimate setting that we don't normally see the Pope engaged in. You see how charming he is, how wise he is, and I think it's heartening to see how he acts like such a normal person when he holds such an important role. So Pope Francis, a man of his word, it's out now. It's a documentary. It's not very long. It's very accessible of a film. And ultimately, I do think it's worth seeing, particularly if you want to get a little bit of a better sense as to who the Pope is and why he believes what he believes. It's certainly not a perfect movie. They do some flashback scenes of St. Francis. Doesn't quite work for me. But all the time that you spend with the Pope, I think, is really, really interesting and something we haven't really seen before. So Pope Francis, a man of his word, out now. I also recommend that. But if you're looking for something a little bit more entertaining, probably go with Deadpool 2. Tell me what you would like to see this weekend. Are you excited about Deadpool 2? Send me a text, 1-800-465-8770. It's the Numb Better Tax Resolution Hotline. Tell me if you're excited for Deadpool or if you are sick and tired of superhero films. 1-800-465-8770 for your text messages. You're listening to The Jason Rantz Show. Welcome back to The Jason Rantz Show on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. My next guest story is a bit too insane to be true. Greg Winters was driving through Arlington. He ends up hitting a deer. It flies through the sky. It lands in his back seat of the car alive and starts kicking him in the head. I suspect something more sinister is at play here. So we invited him on the show. You hear him laughing in the background to explain what happened. We will see if I can catch him in a lie. Greg joins me now. Greg, good morning. Thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure.
So what happened? Take us through that night.
Okay. It was about 9 o'clock. I was driving from Arlington out to Darrington. I just passed, I was past Oso, past the slide. And I was just going 50, 55, and I went around the corner, and basically from a tree line, there was nothing in front of me, and then all of a sudden, big deer. Like, normally we see them grazing on the side of the road or whatever, but nothing like that. Just jumped right out of the wood line. And I hit it, like, probably 50, maybe 50. I was slamming on the brakes. I hit it, like, maybe 50 miles an hour, airbags deployed, front crunched all up. And the deer went flying, like, straight up in the air. And I thought, okay, which is, you know, I didn't want it to, like, come in through the front window or roll up the hood or anything like that. So I'm like, okay, great. It's going to land, you know, somewhere else. So I'm still skidding, right? And all of a sudden, the back window smashes, and I hear it smash. And I think, oh, well, that's maybe just the impact because it was quite, you know, quite, you know, intense. And so I'm still trying to pull over to the side of the road, and I look over to the I've got bucket seats. It's a Honda Civic. Mm-hmm. And I look over, and I see a hoof, like, sticking through the seat. And I'm like, okay. And so I turn around, and the deer's head was on the passenger side of the back seat, you know, kind of folded because it was too big for the back seat. And looking right at me, just totally freaked out. And I was... I look back and there's a deer staring at me, and I went ahead and I tried to pull off the road, and it started kicking and thrashing to get out of the car. And it started kicking. It was kicking me in the back of the head. And so I pulled off the side of the road, and I got out, and I didn't know, you know, I couldn't really let it out. It didn't fit. Like, if I just opened the door, and like, it's a two door. So I couldn't really let it out. And so I just sort of stopped and called the police, and
they showed up. They ended up taking photos of what happened.
Well, no, the deer died before they got there.
Yeah.
I did take some pictures because I, you know, just for insurance, it was getting dark outside. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to get pictures before it was too dark because this is, like, you know, kind of rural. So I got a couple pictures, and then actually some off-duty fire department personnel from Darrington were on their way back from Arlington from something, and they stopped because it looked like they said that my back window was shot out. You know, there was, like, nothing left of the back window, just glass and everything. And so they stopped, and they came over, and they just couldn't believe it. I mean, they started, I mean, they were trying not to laugh because I was kind of shaken, but you just had to laugh. And they started taking pictures and calling friends, and the highway patrolman got there about 45 minutes after the accident, and He said he thought it was kind of a joke or a mistake when it came over the radio. He took pictures, actually, and called in, and his supervisor wanted to come see it. Yeah, so the deer had passed away by then, had died, uh-huh. but there was no visible injury on the deer. So it's probably internal or shock or whatever. Mm-hmm. And but it was interesting because there was no damage to the hood or to the roof of the car and no damage to the trunk, which means it literally came straight down through the back windshield, which is kind of at an angle on a Honda Civic.
Yeah.
Came back to the back windshield and landed literally perfectly on the back seat. Like, it looked like it was just lounging.
Well, that's the part that I can't quite figure out, because if you're driving about 50 miles per hour, 55,
yeah.
you presumably, there's a moment where you hit the brake so you don't hit the deer, but obviously at that point it's futile. If you're going that fast and the angle of the car hits the deer, presumably you're still going straight because you can't just stop at the moment.
Right.
The deer then goes up into the air and then behind you. I don't understand how it can go up in the air while you're still driving forward and then have it land in the backseat of your car, because your car is so tiny.
Yeah, that's a great question. That's a great question.
Greg, I think you're lying. I think you're hiding something. I'm going to be totally honest.
If I didn't have... I sent mail to my employer mm-hmm. that night, and the title of my email was, "You can't make this up." And I included photos because I figured who was going to think that this was real, you know? And, the only thing I could think of is the highway patrolman said if I was braking, that the front of the car would have dipped down
mm-hmm.
and probably hit the deer. I mean, I'll show you a picture of the front of the car. It's just demolished. Probably hit the deer, and the deer probably went not just straight up, but straight up and back a little, you know, like mm-hmm. back away from me a little bit. And then I stopped really soon thereafter, but I was slamming on the brakes or whatever. Yeah. And it just came down perfectly in the back seat.
Just joining me, I'm talking with Greg Winters, driving through Arlington, ends up hitting a deer. It goes through the air, lands in the backseat of his car. The car itself is totaled, right?
Yeah, it's a total loss. Yeah.
Did the deer have insurance?
It's funny because actually the highway patrolman came later with the exchange of information report. And I said, you know, did you get the deer's, you know, driver's number and the... and actually it was funny because I saw that he wrote, I don't know if he wrote it on the report or if he just wrote it on the sheet of paper, that the deer looked like it died resting comfortably or peacefully.
Jeez.
Like, because it literally is just lounging in the back seat. Yeah. So they actually pulled the deer out, and then there was a little competition on the phone for people from Darrington and stuff to come out and harvest the deer. I guess I don't know how that works, but... I think that's gross.
Well, I've got two working theories in what really happened, because I don't buy your story at all. I think it's a cover up. And I acknowledge one of my theories is maybe a little out there, but you never know. One, you're a deer serial killer and you just got caught and this is bad luck. But number two, this is what I really think happened. You're driving, you're speeding maybe, you get into an accident, and there just happened to be a deer nearby, and you decide to blame it on the deer so that your insurance can cover the actual accident. You can be honest and tell us. Just come forward, tell us the truth.
Well, to be honest, I have full coverage. It would be covered anyway. No, I honestly can't be without a car right now. So
yeah.
I would not have wanted to make that story happen.
How did the insurance company react?
Apparently it's not treated as like a regular collision accident. It's treated as a comprehensive, unavoidable mm-hmm. thing or whatever. So they were fine. However, my insurance agent sent me a mail. I have it. It actually said, I sent it. He's like, I can't believe this. I sent it to my kids and the news story that was on the TV. He's like, I can't believe it.
That is insane.
Yeah.
So how do you feel right now? Obviously, the poor deer ends up dying. In the backstory I gave on the show the other day was that you just orphaned like three adorable little deer.
Well, you know, I'm from the Midwest and grew up on a farm, so I don't have necessarily the, you know, animals or you know, family members type thing. But I'm also not a hunter.
Yeah.
I do love animals, and I actually didn't feel too bad. I was more upset about my car and upset about, you know, and we see deer everywhere out here this time of year. But normally I see them on the side of the road and I can see them ahead of time or whatever. Mm-hmm. But to be honest, when they pulled the deer out, one of the guys that was there from the fire department and the highway patrolman sort of concurred that the doe was nursing, and you know, a mom. You could tell by like the udder, you know, or whatever they call it on a deer. And then I started to feel, you know, like, oh man, there's some fawn somewhere, you know, or I don't know.
Well, now I feel bad because I made that up about thinking that the doe had a bunch of babies. I made that up, but now it turns out to be true. Now I feel bad.
Yeah, they really said that.
Well, I'm sorry you had to.
I did feel a little bad.
I'm sorry you had to experience this. It's good that you're safe. Obviously, it's not good for the deer nor your car, but for you, it's safe. What do you do, Greg?
I work for I test computer software for Amazon.
Okay, and what were you doing in Darrington?
I actually have a cabin and some property in Marble Mount, and I was heading from Arlington up to that property.
Got it.
On Sunday night.
And this all just changed that trip, I assume.
Yes, it did, actually. I had to get it towed back to Everett and, you know,
Well, we're
late at night. I didn't.
We're certainly glad you're okay. That's the plus in all of this. I still suspect probably now a combination of you being a sociopath who's got a thing out for deers and a suspicious accident. I'm labeling this under suspicious incident in Darrington, but you have been cleared of any wrongdoing by the Darrington PD, correct?
Yes, I certainly have.
Good.
And I'll send you a photo and video. To be honest, I would find it hard to believe myself if it didn't happen to me.
Well, once we get the video and images, we're going to post it online at ktth.com. If you want to check it out, just check out my blog. We'll have the story up there. Again, I've been talking with Greg Winters. He had an unbelievable experience between his car and a deer, and now we are one less deer and one less car congested in the state of Washington as a result of that Sunday night drive. Greg Winters, I appreciate you stopping by this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. Welcome back to The Jason Rand Show, live in the Online Trading Academy studio on this Friday morning. Thank you so much for tuning in. Really do appreciate it. I'm getting really annoyed with the sanctimonious folks in the media who, having been called out for improperly claiming, falsely claiming, lying, and saying that President Trump called all immigrants animals when he was clearly talking about MS-13 gang members, I am annoyed with the folks who are now, rather than just apologizing for what it is they misreported, they're now just saying, well, no, we shouldn't refer to anybody as animals, not even MS-13 gang members. That's wrong. Anna Navarro, who's been pretending to be a Republican for the last several years, was on CNN, and she says that this is dehumanizing the gang members.
I am saying that the president of the United States has got to measure his words and be more careful about what he says. And it is a very slippery slope when you start dehumanizing people this way. It's what the Nazis did. It's what slave owners did. It's not what Americans do.
Well, then Anna Navarro isn't an American and she's a slave-owning Nazi, right? Because I'm looking at a tweet that she sent out 2 years ago. Should Donald Trump drop out of the race? Yes, he should drop out of the human race. He is an animal. Apologies to animals. That's a tweet from Anna Navarro. So based on her own logic, she is a Nazi and a slave owner. There's no difference. And she's not an American. Are we actually pretending that it's dehumanizing to treat people who are subhuman as subhuman? Do you want to know what MS-13 does? I mean, this is a vicious, vicious group of horrible murderers. Horrible. They cut out people's hearts while they're still alive. There was a story out of New York just a few months ago about how MS-13 gang members were using women who were in their gang to lure men back into an ambush where they would be hacked to death with machetes. These people are actual animals. This whole idea that, oh, we can't dehumanize them. It's funny because Anna Navarro mentions Nazis there. How should we refer to Adolf Hitler? If I were to say Hitler was an animal, would you get upset? Or only if Donald Trump says it? John Legend on Twitter has been doing the same nonsense, basically saying we can't, you know, we have to talk about the policy. We have to talk about the policy that actually, here it is. We should particularly interrogate the role of American policy in helping to make MS-13 the organization it is now. That is as dumb of a tweet as saying, well, we got to look at the dress code stuff, the policies on dress code, because, you know, maybe it's leading to women getting raped. And, you know, the Jews in Nazi Germany, you know, let's look at the policies and let's see if maybe they brought it on themselves. This is absolutely ridiculous. But this is how far the unhinged anti-Trump left will go in order to attack him. I cannot imagine they believe what it is they're saying. I cannot believe that. John Harwood of CNBC. I don't know why this one made me the most annoyed, but I think it's because it's so sanctimonious. He originally tweeted, however repugnant their actions, MS-13 gang members are human beings, in my humble opinion. So someone responded to that tweet and said, I mean, yes, they're technically human beings. That is correct. And by the way, no one is claiming that they're not actual human beings. We're using language like a metaphor. I know that some people are really confused by that. Similes and metaphors, people get confused. But like, yeah, they're human beings, yes. But President Trump is right. And then she points to an article, she links to an article about some of the crimes that MS-13 members have committed. His response was, horrific crimes committed by human beings. Does he actually believe that the term animal is being used literally? I don't understand this. Okay. Horrific crimes committed by human beings. They're also animals. Hitler was a human being, yes. So was John Harwood and John Legend and Anna Navarro. Are they going to stick up for Adolf Hitler? I want Trump this weekend, later today, I want him to come out and I want him to say, you know who else was an animal? Adolf Hitler. I want them to see John Harwood and John Legend and Anna Navarro and Kathy Griffin and all these other idiots, sanctimonious blowhards. I want them to come out and I want them to say, oh, well, yeah, but you know, he was also a human being. Yeah, thanks, guys. You have all of these outlets, and we'll talk about it a little bit later on the show, having to update their stories and how they originally lied about the comments made by Trump. And now people are just doubling down on the stupid. And that's what this is. This is doubling down on stupid, all because you don't like a politician. You can dislike the president and not be a total hypocrite. These people are animals. It's a Jason Rancher.